First time a 300-pound man stepped on your foot under center, you'd quit.
Ooh.
That'd be it.
That would.
I broke my pinky toe in half doing that same thing in training camp.
Is that right?
It snapped in half. I took a snap, didn't get out of there fast enough, whatever the issue was, stepped on my toe. I was like, okay. I didn't feel very good. After practice, got x-ray, pinky toe snapped in half.
Sheesh.
The sheer force of a man.
Who was the fatty who did it?
Ryan Khalil.
David. Football David. The Dave Dameshek Football Program. Available on Apple Podcasts and at NFL.com/DDFP. Now here's your host, Dave Dameshek.
Yes, hi and hello. I hope all's well wherever you are. Welcome to Studio 66. Welcome to the Dave Dameshek Football Program. You just heard the voice of the other half of the Handsome Dave's pro football team. Still coming together, you know, behind the scenes, and then we'll start drafting. Let's say hello to everybody there. Good story there about, would you call him Fat Ryan Khalil?
Fat Ryan Khalil. Yeah.
I just hope he doesn't hear that.
Heavy-footed. Ryan Khalil.
Right, right. Well, I'm sorry about your toe. All's better now?
It's better now. It's fine.
Okay, that is the voice of number 8 from your Houston Texans and the New York Giants. You know what? It's weird. Also the Niners and also the Panthers.
Carolina Panthers.
Is that right?
That's where I broke my foot.
Oh, good. Yeah. I just reeled off all 4 of his teams. It's David Carr. What's the poop, fella?
I feel great now.
Do you?
Recovered from the pinky toe incident, and I'm good.
You also have a new hairdo. Let's not bury the lead. What happened? I'm not opposed to it. It looks fine. When I sit down at the barber, I'm like, listen, just don't get too elaborate with the frame you're putting around the masterpiece.
It was just a lot of work. I felt like a chia pet when I wake up in the morning. And I got some pictures that maybe I'll send to you if I can trust you.
I'd like to see
those
that.
Pictures. But it was a lot of product, and it was a lot of blow drying and combing, and I'm going to be 40 years old.
And you don't need it.
I don't need all that.
Look at you. Really? Look at the man in the mirror. What do you got to doll up your hair, and for whom?
Thank you. Thank you. Exactly. And that was kind of the point that I came
Where's
to.
Where's the hair? Like third, fourth place go. When you're looking at the whole thing?
Thank you, Hen.
Yeah. I'm lost in those eyes for the first 5-6 minutes every time I'm in the same room with David Carr.
Appreciate that.
Also, here's another handsome fellow by his own right, all the way from London, England. He is no longer, at least for the 2019 calendar year, our resident Miami Dolphins fan. He's decided to take a hiatus. Nevertheless, it's Handsome Hank.
Actually, I'd like to be...
That's enough. Let's get to the
I'd
breaking
like to
news.
I'd like to be known as
say?
The resident Salt Lake City Stallions fan.
Oh, I like
I've
that.
That's where
I'm
you going. Singing songs about
oh,
the Stallions
my goodness,
team.
That team.
Is that
the
team?
Stallions. That's my
it's
team.
It's interesting because people are trying to like, okay, I got to jump on a bandwagon.
Right. Me too. I dived head first. I didn't even know what I was going into. I didn't know what their colors were or anything else. I'm in love with these guys.
How did you come to that decision?
Mostly just that was the first name.
Yeah,
on
okay.
The list that
I like that.
He is so American handsome. I know he's reared in the UK, but he's American through and through. And this is another thing that American guys do. Mm-hmm. They just decided about 3 to 5 years ago, or maybe even more recently than that. People just decided, I'm now a Tottenham fan.
Oh yeah.
This good is
the
side that.
The equivalent.
You know, exactly. Like all that crap. Like
I love hearing people. Tottenham. Yeah. I've loved Tottenham since 2015.
Spurs are a rotten side. Like what? Yeah. Don't know anything
about
them.
About
you
the
stop
history.
Talking about
He's
it.
He's the greatest player in the team's history since I supported them.
Right, but handsome.
Yes.
Understand. Who you root for is not an intellectual choice. It's made. It's made with the heart and gut.
I made it absolutely with the heart and gut. I looked at all the team names and I said. The Salt Lake City. I don't even know if they're Salt Lake City Stallions or Salt Lake Stallions.
Zero
it doesn't right. matter to me. Yeah. I don't care.
Can I tell you one thing that somebody pointed out to me as I was rating the uniforms, mm-hmm. as I'm wont to do? And by the way, the good news is for the AAF organizers, high marks. I think, generally speaking, some nice uniforms out there. Here's the weird thing about the Stallions. Why do they have wings on their hat? What flying beast besides Pegasus do you know of that has wings?
Exactly. Well, what's the only way you can improve a stallion?
Wings.
There you go.
That's a good point. All right. I'm at you see, you're a good supporter. They need you as a social media influencer, handsome.
I am. I'm acting as that on their behalf for free.
Hey, David Carr.
Yes.
We have a lot to talk about. Antonio Brown. I want to talk about Kyler Murray a little bit. Kareem Hunt, maybe. I want to talk about one guy named Derek Carr and who he'll be throwing footballs for in 2019. We have a lot to kibitz about. Then Julian Edelman, I want to talk about. Eddie Spaghetti behind the glass there has put together together yet another thorough and dynamic rundown for us, and we'll pick and choose.
He's done a great job, actually. I used to make fun of Eddie's rundowns, but in this case, the last two of them have been useful.
This may be our map, not just for this episode, but for the entire offseason. Mm-hmm. Spaghetti might be our...
Well done, Eddie.
Yeah.
Because he sits back there just to draw back the curtain. Emma at least looks busy during these shows behind the glass. Eddie's typically just sitting there staring at us. And I always wonder, like, what's happening?
Those Instagram posts ain't going to post themselves. MOVP's got stuff to do back there.
I will say this, though. The rundown process is me sitting at my desk. I come up with a bunch of, like, a huge master list of topics. Right. And then what I do is I email them both to Dave and to Emma. And then Emma takes out the best chunks and then adds her own. And then that together
That's how it comes to
is what you see. Yeah.
So, yeah, combined effort, but, you know.
Well, you said takes out the best parts. That sounds like a dig at MOVP.
The other way around. Extracts them.
Could you give us some examples of the bits that you didn't take out? That rejected Eddie rundown items.
I'm not sure if this one might. I don't think this one had any that were taken out, but most times I put like 20 topics and only, you know, five.
Yeah, some of them might just not fly at the NFL necessarily. Right. But they might fly. They're good stuff. But
so
maybe
Spaghetti's
like
the rule breaker, and MOVP's like, got to toe the line.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah. Yep.
She runs it through Raj, and then he gives the feedback, go with these. Now, Spaghetti, you have a new hairdo. Do you like David Carr's new hairdo?
I do. I like both of his hairdos, but I understand his point of, like, not wanting to do... This is annoying. Like, I'm sure what you used to have to do with, like, you're saying, the product.
Yeah, it's draining.
It takes minimum 10, 15 minutes, and then it's like,
have you ever
late.
Heard of taking 10 or 15 minutes on your hair, David Carr?
I mean, honestly, I'm with Eddie,
though. What fella takes that long to do his hair?
Because you don't want to do it, and then you walk away, and it looks stupid. And then
you're
like,
stuck with
his
stupid haircut all day.
So really, I didn't know some people were drying at home.
Yeah, I woke up my 9-month-old daughter too early, blow drying my hair, and I felt like a complete moron.
And that was a second.
I said, "That's it." And that was the last day.
You really did that.
So on a daily basis, you have to break out the hair dryer.
Not anymore. Now it's done.
What does that say about humanity? If David Carr is plagued by the demons of vanity, then what chance does someone like
I've
me
never,
have?
I can honestly hold my hand up and say I've never used a hairdryer.
That's fancy. That's where I aspire to be.
I don't even know where I would get one.
I think that I'm there
where
now.
Where do you buy a hairdryer? I've seen them in hotels.
You steal it from your wife. She was in the drawer.
What do you have, four kids or five?
Five.
Five children. Five. Who do you have to impress? You don't need to do your hair.
How do you think that I got those five children?
Well, that's a good point, but you're a handsome devil by all accounts. MOVP, do you like the hairdo?
Looks great.
Even though she thinks that I'm drastically...
Not as good looking as Johnny Hamm.
Or Reggie Bush.
Or Reggie Bush.
I'm sorry. No jive.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. I appreciate that, actually.
DeShawn Kizer.
More often.
Or Truth.
What about DeShawn
Kizer? Better looking
Kizer?
Than DeShawn Kizer.
There you go, fella.
I got to Google him. I haven't seen him in a while.
Okay. She thought DeShawn Kizer was nice, too. Brady remains number one at the top of my list. However, we did get to talk with Matt Ryan at the Super Bowl. Some really interesting stuff from him. I just, as you know, Carr, I'm fascinated by being the guy in a football town like you were in Houston and anybody else, and the pressure that comes with that, and everybody backslaps you, but then also like, we got to do better than this guy, and everything's
as they backslap you, they go back home. So,
so we talked about that and this, that, and the other, and he was fascinated also by some of my numerology where he was concerned with the NFC South QB.
I'd say fascinated maybe.
No, he loved it.
A little bit, Dave.
You know what? In case you aren't aware, Carl. Yeah.
Let's not do it.
I'm doing it. Cam Newton wears one. Matt Ryan wears two. Jameis Winston wears three. Drew Brees wears nine for a grand total of 15. Since we went to four team divisions, there's no chance anybody's come anywhere close to that low combined total of starting QBs, right?
Yeah, I'm with you. I think the number two by Matt Ryan is impressive. I always thought it was really impressive that he wore two.
Do you know why he wears
two? I have no idea, but I'm like, who would ever pick two?
Right. You know what?
I'm second.
Matt Ryan reveals that. And you can go back and listen.
I know
you're a busy man with the five kids
and
the blow dryer and everything else. I'll just tell
it's
it
hard
to
hear
you.
Podcasts
you know why?
Over the blow dryer.
You know who he loved?
Who?
Tim Couch. Tim Couch at Kentucky.
No way.
He loved him at Kentucky.
That makes sense. So he was younger then?
Yeah.
Okay.
Tim Couch.
Tim Couch.
Wow. I wonder if Tim knows that.
I was happy to.
Someone
I don't
Tim
know.
That.
I agree.
Make him feel better.
Do you know Couch?
I don't know Tim.
It'd be great to seem like you're on a first name basis with him, but let Tim know.
You
but
say,
Tim,
you didn't say Mr. Couch. Yeah, you didn't say Mr. Couch.
Imagine though, Matt Ryan. Whatever happens going forward in his career, he has already well exceeded his idols. Career. That's pretty nice. That's
true. Yeah, I didn't realize that.
I don't know if that makes you feel empty on the inside ultimately or not. Carr, one last piece of business, then we will deal with pro football at large.
Yeah,
we. Spoiler alert, I already told you, you're going to be added to the Digital Wall of Fame here in Studio 66.
That's going to be a great honor.
The only issue is, and we like to ask the player, what jersey do you want to wear there?
Well,
what
let me just warn you, before you answer, he likes to ask you in order to deliver a different...
Sometimes.
So whatever I say.
So you think Willie McGinnis wanted to go up there as a Brown?
No, of course not. And that's why I have a feeling I know where I'm going to go up as.
Maybe it shouldn't even be an 8 jersey. It should just be an 8 blow dryer. Wouldn't that be nice? We should just get a blow dryer up there for a Carr.
Fantastic.
What do you think?
I don't know.
We'll think about it.
Yeah, let me think about the team. I see a lot of Browns, though. Unfortunately, I didn't play for them. So I know that's not going to happen.
Yeah, I'm not going to put you in the Browns jersey.
Yeah, sure.
What was your least favorite stop? San Fran?
I feel like San Francisco is going to be the... I didn't want to say San Fran because if that was the one that you would magically pop up on the screen...
I wouldn't do that to you.
I actually didn't even wear 8 in San Francisco. So there's that.
Wait a second.
What did you wear?
Carr, Carr wore, when he was there, he would go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. He wore number 6.
Ooh, you're so close. It was 5.
5.
You're really close.
All right, let's talk about San Francisco. There's a guy, Jerry Rice, who for some reason seems to think, or over the last month or so, seems to imagine that he has some say in who the Niners acquire from the Pittsburgh Steelers and has taken to social media to indicate, hey, we're all set for this to happen. Like, I don't know that Kevin Colbert and the Steelers Brain Trust is going to reach out to Jerry Rice to negotiate this deal. But one way or the other, Antonio Brown, we come at you midday Tuesday here from the West Coast. And Antonio Brown has announced what I think was pretty much what we already knew. And yet jaws are agape, mouths agape all over football America today at the news that Antonio Brown wants to be traded now. First reaction to this. What's the update on this? Yes,
I thought he was getting traded,
but what do you think?
I mean, I'm not surprised. I don't think anyone's surprised that really follows it. I think that this was something that had to happen. I think that Antonio even... I feel like there was no meeting. Like, I was trying to ask, I was asking Ian Rappaport, was there a meeting? Like, did they bring him in and say, okay, maybe we can figure this out? Because that's what I would want to do if I was the quarterback there. If I had Antonio Brown on my team, I would say, can we just all get together and talk about this a little bit before we send off?
Here's what I can tell you. He was caught that he received phone calls from teammates, including one Ben Roethlisberger, returning them.
Well, then that makes sense because he wanted out. So he just, this is just a matter of
time. It feels like this is maybe a shortcut to him not having to take those phone calls like, okay, I definitely don't want to have that conversation with you guys, so don't even bother, you know, wasting your valuable minutes.
This is me reading the tea leaves. I've heard back and forth on this, but I think that the Steelers are the ones who made it clear pretty close to maybe even before Week 17's game was played.
Yeah,
and it was pretty clear. All right, that's enough. We've tolerated enough as an organization. We're going to part ways with you as soon as we can. I also said though about 3 weeks ago that as you get away from things and you get from the inflection point that maybe cooler heads prevail and maybe by March they'll say like, all right, listen, we're better off with you. You know, Roethlisberger, come on, AB. We're better together. Let's just make this thing work on the player level and we'll go from there. And maybe that would have worked. And I thought maybe there was some room for that, but
this seems to rule it out.
I don't think the Steelers, I think the Steelers as an organization wanted to part ways.
The Steelers had a choice, the organization, like the front office and then Mike Tomlin even. Because at this point, Antonio Brown's in charge of your team if you let him stay.
Yeah.
But do you think, do anything.
But do you think in doing this, he's saying, like, the Steelers didn't let me be who I need to be. Is there another team that's going to allow him to walk in and behave the way that he apparently feels like he wasn't allowed to? It doesn't feel realistic now that the story's out there that this is what AB does in the locker room and this is the kind of player that he is with his teammates or whatever, then another team's going to be like, come on in and feel free to just you be you. you know, this it just doesn't seem realistic to me.
That's a great point, yeah, as Reggie Wayne,
because that's
tweeted,
I think what he imagines is out there is the grass is going to be greener somewhere else, and he's going to be able to walk in and do what he wants.
I think 87 forewarned, like, yeah, you're just, the grass is not always green, or he tweeted out on Tuesday.
I think
as well,
he just wants to be the guy. Honestly, I think the Juju Smith Schuster factor is way underrated.
Real.
I think that is it for me. If he's not the main guy, he's not getting the targets. Because if you look schematically where they put Juju and where they put Antonio, they were trying to get Juju Smith the ball. Now, maybe Antonio had better production because he's Antonio Brown, but they were setting this up to where he was the man there, Juju Smith. And so Antonio, he's out at that point.
I think that you're right about that. And I think Juju recognized that during the season and even after that. Yes, the reason that I am running in free space so often is because 84 commands a couple of guys worth of attention on the other side. And AB, if you believe what people say, including what's come out of the AB camp, he wanted the Steelers to feel what that looks like. Okay, I'm not in the lineup. Now let's see.
Well, we saw what happened in the last
Is that fair to do that? Like, all right, so wait, he's not going to show up? We have 24
it's not
hours
fair.
Or 48 hours to, like, build a game plan around 19?
Yeah,
we thought 84 was going
to
be here.
No, I'm with you. But that's not fair to the team. And maybe he did that on purpose, like you said. But I think that there's a very real factor of Antonio Brown not being on the field next year and it just being Juju Smith. And, I mean, it's going to be different. It's just going to be different. It's not the same because now all the attention goes to him. And now who's going to step up? Washington? I mean, who's going to really be that next guy? It's not Antonio Brown. So I'd be looking for one.
I get it. But also, isn't the other side of that coin that who wins the Super Bowl because they have this this dynamite, dominant number one guy that just isn't the, it's clear.
I'm with you on that.
Right?
You don't need it. You don't necessarily need
it. The Colts were the last team that you would point to and say, they had Marvin Harrison and Reggie Wayne and they won the Super. I mean, Julian Edelman just wrecked the NFL playoffs. Julian Edelman? Come on.
But Dave, you've celebrated for a long time, rightly so, that the Steelers had the triplets. And the triplets, you know, having one of each of those guys tends to be something that you can predict success on. So the Steelers now, without Le'Veon Bell, and we saw James Conner can step up to some extent, Juju isn't the equal of AB. You've still got Ben, but you know his best days are behind him. Does that you need some portion of that for it to happen?
Well, Around the NFL show earlier in the week. Go back and listen to that because we were debating dynasties who's about to go into a protracted stretch of irrelevance, and it seemed like a lot of people were saying the Steelers. I just don't buy that at this point. I think they have it's boring, but they have a dominant offensive line, and they have three dominant pieces, and I don't use that glibly. Just Stephon Tuitt and Javon Hargrave, along with Cam Hayward, they don't have depth at the position, but they're loaded up front, and they're in good shape there. Build out from there. I'm not terribly concerned about the 2019 Steelers. And by the way, the Cleveland Browns are guaranteed already, by all accounts,
AFC North. Away with it.
So they're plucky underdogs
at this Super Bowl.
The Steelers are just plucky underdogs. I just hope they can hang in there. You know, I don't know. Hope they don't get humiliated twice by the Browns. That's all I'm hoping for.
That's true. Just keep it close.
So, Carr, do you think, give me your best guess. You know how these things turn out. Antonio Brown, in a world where Kareem Hunt gets signed by a team, it's the old thing. All you need is one team. You don't need 31 teams to show interest. You need one team. Will there be, best guess, a team between now and March that steps up and says, we'll give you a first for 84?
Yeah, 100%. I think
a first.
I do think that there are someone that will give a first for Antonio Brown because just his talent alone is worthy of that. Now, the stuff that you talk about with, is he think he's just going to walk into the locker room and be this guy? I think that you have to have, as a front office and a head coach, a very real conversation. The one the Pittsburgh Steelers did not have with Antonio Brown about that exact situation and really find out like what happened in Pittsburgh. Like you have to ask that question. You have to, all three of us would have to feel pretty good about his answer for us to say, okay, now I think that he can come in here and help us and not be distracted.
I think he'll understand that with what has to be on some level, no matter what, a little bit humiliating, and Drew Rosenhaus probably can get in his ear and say, listen, AB, not the time for you. You cannot puff your chest out.
Exactly.
Make
That's huge.
You've learned a lesson. This sort of business will never happen again. You're all about winning.
Yeah, you have to.
Everybody can be coached to say the right. That's why the combined interviews that are upcoming here. Well, oh, he's an impressive young man. How dumb do you have to be to not be able to pull off 10 minutes of?
You'd be surprised.
You'd be surprised. I wish I could conduct those interviews.
Oh, my God.
That'd be the
Dave,
best.
You would love it.
There are going to be some teams as well that you need a kind of strong quarterback as well to be in the room with AB to tell him when he needs
too.
To shut up.
Yeah.
Because there are a lot of teams with young quarterbacks at the moment.
You can't he can't go to Arizona.
Yeah.
He literally can't be with Josh Rosen.
Yeah.
Just wipe it off.
We
the
don't
table.
Know if Josh Rosen's going to be there. I want to talk about
That's
that in a second.
True.
But
yeah.
Eddie Spaghetti behind the glass. Yes, as best you can. I hate to drop this in your lap, but I talk about football for a living because I don't like math. And then this vexing math of contracts and all the cap hit and all that. I don't like to know about cap hit stuff, and yet it's been forced upon me anyway. Yes, in March the Steelers would take a $21 million hit, or maybe it would be. I'm not even clear if it's $18 million or what it drops to.
He has a roster bonus in March, March 17th. That was at $2.5 million, but if they just wait until after June 1st and trade him, then that $21 million dead money charge would drop to only $7 million. And then that would free up money for the Steelers and free agency. So it makes the most sense for the Steelers organization just to wait until June because
trade him off to June.
But it doesn't make practical sense because by then
it assumes
that they're going to dump him in June, but how are you rightly going to be making moves in free agency without?
Right. Well, you get the cap relief eventually, and then knowing that you will trade him. That's what I'm reading. Dan Graziano had.
You're allowed to do that, Carr?
Yeah, I think so.
So you can just we have 40. We're over the cap by $50 million, but don't worry because by June we're going to
dump it all.
You can do that, and you can designate things as post June 1st cuts and that kind of thing. But still, with it, like that doesn't seem to make sense from every other reason. They want him off the books as soon as possible, and equally other teams who you're going to get more for him
if you wait.
If
that,
you do it before
exactly.
the draft, because otherwise it comes to the draft, and they're like, I don't know if I can rely on
the fact
that I might.
We just grabbed a receiver. We don't really need him anymore.
And that's like a bad faith deal or collusion or something to be like, San Francisco, we're going to wait till June, and we're going to trade him to you, but make sure you draft that receiver that we want to replace or give us. You know, you can't do that. You wouldn't be allowed to do that.
That would be highly
handsome. Speaking of weird stuff around the draft. The 10th overall pick in the 2018 draft was the aforementioned Josh Rosen. I still like the guy. However, Matt Money Smith said this to me before the season started, and they said, if you watched him in preseason, there is something weird about it. I always put it on those Notre Dame defensive linemen who wear like number 6. Mm-hmm. And it's like, how can I properly evaluate you when you're tricking my eyes with a single digit?
Yeah,
I can't see
I can
if you're good.
On. Right. Yeah.
Don't wear a 7. That doesn't, you're 300 pounds. It makes my eyes confused. Likewise, sometimes you see those quarterbacks who cut a big figure in college and then they go out and you're like, oh, he looks very slight on the NFL gridiron. That's Josh Rosen. That's my concern for him. He does not look big. He doesn't
look.
So
you want to replace him with Kyler Murray?
Well, that's two different guys, at least. At least Kyler Murray is. For a guy who's going to stand in the pocket and sling it around, that's not what Kyler Murray is going to be expected to do. Either way, this business. Is there. Off the top of my head, I can't think of a team that just used a high first and by the end of 1 year decided, we've got to get out of this. This was a mess.
Other than the Atlanta Falcons when they traded Brett Favre to the Green Bay Packers. Mm-hmm.
That was a two,
that was after,
right?
Oh, that was,
was
maybe
a
two. That was a two. Okay.
But typically,
right.
Teams
no, but
also,
you're right. That's a good
you know
point.
What I'm saying? After his rookie year. That's the only other time that because this came up earlier. It's the only other time I can think about that happening because they were mentioning the job.
What did they do? They took Jeff George after they took Brett Favre? Is that how that went down?
I think so.
I'm Spaghetti,
sure.
If you don't mind, look at that real quick. That sounds so that probably does check out.
But typically, teams don't replace their coach 1 year into their tenure either, which
the coach and the quarterback
right
that they have both been there for 1 year.
David Carr,
QB
whisperer, evaluated for us. Josh Rosen, Kyler Murray, who would you rather have?
It's difficult because the X factor here is Cliff Kingsbury and his offense that he ran in college and the one that he's going to run in Arizona is, I would think, be very similar. Now, he was in New England as a backup quarterback, so maybe he tries to bring a little bit more sophistication to his up-tempo spread offense. But I don't know, man. It's such a It's so crazy, this situation, because you have Cliff literally saying, if I had the first pick, I would take him. Now, he was about to play Kyler in college.
A, that. B, right? He has the same agent as Kyler.
Exactly.
And I don't think anyone anticipated he'd be that. Like, yeah. At that point, it was very, very unlikely that
absolutely.
He was going to be the head coach yeah. so of the team it's just, with the
that,
first
that's
pick.
The weird thing for so, me. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. For me, Kyler is not... He's a lot of work to do, right? So he is so good athletically. This is what happens with guys that are this good. When he's in junior high... High school, he's always the best player. College, he's the best player on the field, and he can do things that no one else can do. So if my first guy isn't open, I'm going to dance around a little bit. I'm going to make a crazy-looking athletic play that no one else can make. Well, that's great until you get to the NFL, the land of super freaks, where they're all as fast as you. The guys wearing the 90 jerseys are as fast and as quick as you. And when they catch you, they're going to hurt you, right? And you're only 180 pounds. Like, maybe you're 190, okay? So, and there's bad habits that he's gotten into where if you watch Alabama in the first half, when he played Alabama, first guy wasn't open. He still threw it. Like, he still threw it in the window. Like, it's an interception. That's like five interceptions you had in the first half. They just didn't catch him. Right? So NFL guys are going to catch those. If you can get, like, Baker Mayfield, same system. Right? Baker was in the same exact system. Right? You can watch them both play in that system. Baker was tremendous against pressure. Kyler's terrible against pressure. Baker was fantastic at getting through his progression, staying alive in the pocket, moving around, staying a passer. Kyler's terrible at that. He's great at moving and running. They have different qualities, and he's definitely electric. And when Oklahoma was on, I was watching. Like, that was the one college football team that I was watching last year is, where is Kyler Murray going to – what's he going to do with the football? Like, I have to see this. But he has a lot of work to do. So is he a first-round pick? Is he a fifth-round pick? I mean, that's just – it's I've never seen
Oh, I can guarantee you he's a first-round
pick. No, he is. He absolutely is.
I'm saying he will be a first-round
pick. And I agree with you, but – I mean, I don't know if that's necessarily the best spot for him to go. I mean,
my prediction is Denver, but maybe this Denver Arizona
would
stuff will...
Denver would be interesting.
Yeah, because they don't have a good offensive line, so he can just run away from the pressure, right?
He can do that.
And against the defense, that's what you want to... that's a good math in the short term, at
I agree.
Least,
but it may
Broncos.
Be only the short term. Because he is small, and he's going to get hurt.
But that's all predicated to me. Not all, but... You know, legitimately, 80-90% of it is. And I just talked to Mike Vick about this, if I may name drop, in Atlanta, Georgia. I did it, and I'm not taking it back now.
I'm now interested.
I just talked to him about it, and I said, what is it? Because he told me, I patted him on the back and said, you, at the draft, said the best QB available is Baker Mayfield, and Lamar Jackson is going to succeed in the NFL. And I said, what is it about you versus Russell Wilson versus Colin Kaepernick versus RG3 or anybody else? Some of you guys have spatial awareness. You're running full speed, and you know, like, I got to, oh, I better get down just before I get smacked. And Mike Vick and RG3 just didn't have it. They didn't have that. They would get lit up all the
destroyed.
Time. Well, I don't know if Kyler Murray is in which column he's in. If he knows how to take care of himself and never get lit up.
Like, Russell Wilson is fantastic at that.
When have you ever seen Russell Wilson
get clean.
Slides
hammered.
Nice and clean, right. Second base slide, pops up, hands the ball to the fish.
Kaepernick either. No, Kaepernick's is 6'5". When did you ever see him?
That's underrated quality, for sure.
It's a weird thing. I don't know which one Kyler Murray is, but Josh Rosen, now where should he go?
Okay,
do you think this will happen, first of all?
I don't think that it will happen. I think Josh had a decent year. I think Larry Fitzgerald likes Josh. Just talking to him kind of away from everything, he thinks he's going to be a good player.
Ah.
You know, so I think Josh is a good player. He just needs some help.
I think also the Cardinals have a lot of holes to fill.
Yeah,
and
I would agree.
And they can do that by having someone trade up. So maybe Kyler Murray is the first overall pick in the draft, but it's just not to Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
Or they've got other holes they need to fill. Having the luxury of just taking a quarterback in the first round the year before and then doing it again the next year just doesn't feel like something that team can afford.
I hear you. Yeah, it's a little Detroit Lions-y. Yeah. Like, what are you doing?
It is very
you can't
Detroit
endlessly
Lions.
Take receivers just because you missed on the last one.
Right.
I do think that...
And we don't know if they've missed on the last one either.
That's why I'm asking Carr.
I like
the kid?
I do. Yeah, I think he has... I mean, he had a terrible offensive line. I've been there. Like, I know how that feels. But I still think that he did a good job down the field. He's got something to him down the field. He can throw accurately, intermediate, which is the crucial area. 15 to 20, 25 yards. For me, if a guy can throw and complete passes in that range, like, I know he can play, and he can do that.
I mean this sincerely. Antonio Brown to Phoenix, Patrick Peterson to Pittsburgh. Easy peasy. Who's going to bellyache
about
that?
How happy would you be?
But that's a great idea. I mean, that's a good trade for both sides. That's good. They're about the same age.
Unless you're Josh Rosen.
You think Josh Rosen? Do you really think Josh Rosen would be like, don't give me that guy?
He would definitely have that guy.
Well, I've been in that early stage of, you don't know. Of course, yeah, let me have him. But no, you don't want that headache.
But also, Josh Rosen does feel like he has enough of that moxie around him to be able to
But they can afford it because they have David Johnson, who, relatively speaking, cuts a very humble figure. We have room. Larry Fitzgerald. Oh, he's so classy. Well, now we'll just bring. That's a good spot for AB, right?
Oh, man. You're,
that's
you're
a great spot. I figured it out. That's a perfect spot for him. Listen, this is how you act professionally. I'm one of the great receivers of all time, AB, and I'm going to shepherd you. That's what I'm going to do on my way out the door. I'm going to make. I'll happily defer to you, AB. That's a good spot for if that doesn't make sense to you, then where does he make sense going?
I don't know.
Jets?
Yeah. No, not there either.
Well, he'd be good on the Jets because Sam Darnold likes when plays break down. It seems to me that everybody who knocks AB and they're kind of vapid, in my opinion, because he's, as I always point out, he's one of the great receivers of the Super Bowl era. I put him in the top three. The thing that he kind of will miss with Roethlisberger, I think he is QB immune to who his QB is. I think he'll be productive given almost anybody under center. But I think he likes the playground aspect of it. Yeah. That's where AB gets the extended plays.
He's definitely that. He's got that Steve Smith quality where you don't really know what route he's running. He's just going to be open.
I don't think AB often knows.
He doesn't. That's fine. He's going to find open.
His quarterbacks love that.
Well, I think that's the genesis of their little argument in between week 16 and 17. One last thing that I'll point out about that is, I like to play what if. And I talked to Cam Jordan at the Super Bowl. I talked to Reggie Bush about this, too. Oh, that penalty that we should be in the Super Bowl. Where's our justice? All that. I don't want to hear any more belly aching from Saints fans, because if in the Superdome, a good call had been made on 4th-and-2 against Joe Hayden. That was a bad call.
That's a good point.
And if that wouldn't have happened, the Steelers win that game. And then all the locker room is feeling excited. They just beat the Patriots, and they went to New Orleans and beat the Saints. That was impossible to do until the Steelers were on the cusp of doing it. They would have gone into the playoffs as the hottest team on the AFC side of things. There would have been no fight.
Do you think
he
sits out the wild card round?
Well, maybe, but listen, Roethlisberger and 84 never argue because they're not across with each other.
Yeah,
they're not frustrated.
Right.
Oh, we blew that game. Yeah. Instead, they're feeling good. They're together.
All off one call.
Because of that one call, Antonio Brown is likely to never be a Steeler again. Think about that. Put that in your pipe and smoke it, Saints fans.
It's true.
I'm sure they're feeling better about things now.
They feel much better.
The Lions GM says he's open to drafting a QB at 8. React to that.
That's why he's the Lions GM.
I don't believe him.
Well, you know what?
I don't believe him is probably the best assessment. Yeah.
I was a Stafford guy until this year.
What happened?
I thought finally they have built an offensive line for him. He has some nice pass catchers. He has a running game. Now Kerryon Johnson got hurt. I thought this is going to be a nice situation for him. And what'd they do? 8-8?
Is he one of the 15 best quarterbacks in the NFL?
Yeah.
Are they going to draw? Is his replacement, one of the guys that they would take at 8, going to be one of the 15 best quarterbacks?
I don't know.
In the NFL?
He's on the cusp, and I used to push back at this all the time, but he's like Jay Cutler plus 3 years. He's getting to that point where it's like this. What is all this amounted to? A playoff appearance or two?
The curse of an extraordinarily good arm. That's what it is. Yeah. Jay Cutler, same. I have such a good arm. I don't really need to care about the other stuff. All the other stuff that Tom Brady cares about, what I care about, I can throw it through that ball.
Yeah. We've talked about it already, Carr, but I'm going to bring it up to you now, especially with Dwayne Haskins and Kyler Murray and Drew Locke and who am I forgetting there?
Daniel Jones.
All these guys. Plus, I think the Giants could conceivably move Eli Manning. We know Blake Bortles is out there. I don't know if anybody really wants him to be their starter, but Ryan Tannehill is out there, Flacco, and so on. Have we reached, in David Carr's opinion, have we reached saturation across the NFL with starting QBs? Now, gold is precious. because it's rare, but it is no longer all that rare at QB.
We're really, really close because you can only really think of maybe two places that can genuinely say maybe, like if you go to Florida and you look at Miami and Jacksonville, that's really the only two places that you could say maybe they could be upgraded.
Well, they literally, neither one of those teams literally has a QB, but there are QBs out there to fill those slots now.
Instantly. Right. And guys that fit perfectly.
Right.
Like, I think Flacco would be great in Miami.
I agree with that one. I think Flacco should go to Denver if he knows what's good for
that's
him.
Also
the better
not a bad
deal
idea.
Is, the better idea is, send him to Cincy. People conflate those two guys,
oh,
Dalton,
my goodness, yeah.
Dalton and Flacco. They couldn't be more dissimilar just about.
Yeah, I agree.
I know in terms of winning percentages maybe, but what does Cincy need? They got John Ross and they got A.J. Green and you got Joe Mixon. Set it up with some play action, as Carr and I love to do.
I love it.
And throw the deep ball.
And
that's
new
it.
Their new coach is going to play action pass.
There you go.
Big time.
That's exactly right. Who's his best pal? Sean McVay.
Exactly.
That's exactly what they're going to want to do.
Is play action pass. So I think that'd be great. I like that move. I think we're saturated. I think it's a great time. I think the quarterbacks have been trained really well. Like Dwayne Haskins, like some of these guys come with the kid from Duke, like they know how to play quarterback already. Like you just put them in a NFL training camp and they're, let's go. We'll be the best guy out there because we're young. We got crazy ability. We're going to make the right read. Like Haskins, like I know guys that have coached him, like Elite 11, away just different camps. Like he's ready to play. Like
I hear
right
he's
now.
A great runner of the football.
Yeah, that's what some people say
that
aren't on this network.
Not on this network.
Not on this network.
No. Exactly. One other question. Well, by the way, Handsome, are you worried about where Tannehill lands? Is he a starting QB in 2019?
I think his relationship with Zach Taylor makes him a likely candidate
interesting
in
too.
Cincinnati.
Yeah.
I'm not worried about where he lands. No.
He'll land somewhere.
I had another
but I hope he...
good case study for you. Should they movie Eli to Jacksonville? That's a good fit to me.
You know, I thought that should have happened like 2 years ago.
Now.
Yeah,
I don't think he helps the Jags in a way that he would have done 2 years ago.
I kind of agree because 2 years ago it made sense. Now even, and I'm an Eli Manning supporter. Even now I'm kind of saying, hey man, just come play golf with me. Let's just go.
Really? You think it's done for him?
I mean, he can't do the things that he used to do. And I think that's the case with a lot of quarterbacks. Like Drew Brees isn't the same guy, right? But I think that it may be, more true for Eli.
Oh, this is a juicy edition of the QB carousel here. I'm glad it's spinning right now. I want to go through a few names now that we're getting into them. Don't you think Eli could salvage a good season if you send him to Jacksonville with his pal Tom Coughlin, drop him into that spot?
I think so.
He doesn't have to be the man. Assuming,
but is that what you want?
But he doesn't have the weapons around him that he does.
Well,
with
because
the Giants, he doesn't have an Odell Beckham.
But you would have a great defense, and you have Leonard Fournette behind you, and you have a halfway decent O line.
Great defense doesn't really help him. Like sure be better
does,
than
yeah.
he was. It helps him win, but it doesn't help him be better than he was last year.
But keep in mind, he must merely be an upgrade from Blake Bortles.
Which he would be.
But
is that what you want, though, if you're Jacksonville?
Right.
Like, do you really?
Is he the best upgrade for the Jags?
Yeah. Or can you get a young guy in there and do.
I just don't. I guess I look at it from the other side of things with Eddie Spaghetti listening on from behind the glass. I just don't know if you're the Giants, if you do take Dwayne Haskins, what's the point of keeping Eli Manning around? What do you get out of that? This nonsense, this thing I keep arguing and people say, what are you talking? Patrick Mahomes, fine, learned at the knee of Alex Smith. We'll never know what would have happened in 2017. So Jeff Schwartz, who says, oh, you don't understand because Andy Reid, you need a year in that system to learn things. Okay, would Patrick Mahomes have just stunk the world up?
No.
He wouldn't have been the MVP in his sophomore year. We don't know what would have happened with Alex Smith in there. What I do know is these teams that carry the savvy vet and then with to teach the kid, and then like by the end of September, early October, the rookie's in there now, and we should have done that a month ago. Why didn't we do that when we had a chance to?
The only scenario that I like that is when it's the savvy vet is not a guy that's pushing you to start. Like Josh McCown.
Okay,
that's
interesting.
That's great. Like, for me, like Josh McCown, because then you take the ego out of it. Because I've been in quarterback rooms where there's guys that still think they can start and still want to prove that they can be the guy, and they maybe haven't gotten their shot yet. And so I'm going to really kind of maybe backstab this young kid and maybe tell him what I want to tell him. But I'm also, I want to start. I want to play. So like you got to get rid of that. And I think that then you can have, because so the Eli Manning with a first round pick thing, I don't like it. I never liked that scenario. I like the guy that's been there for like 12 years. And
I mean, what's
like,
the point?
Bring in
of
Ryan Fitzpatrick. Like, bring Ryan Fitzpatrick right. in. Like, let him sit in there. He's a smart guy. He knows everything. Like, then you can draft a first round kid. Let the first round pick play. And
I get you. Right, right, you know? Right. Yeah, I didn't like the Flacco and Lamar Jackson.
Just no, not at all. Because Flacco still wants to play. So why is he there? He wasted a whole year sitting there.
I agree. Next one is we just saw him play in a Super Bowl and. Most people say he didn't play very well. I think he missed a couple of key throws, but I think he also dropped a dime to Brandon Cooks in the big spot. Yeah. 4 minutes left in the Super Bowl, down a touchdown. You can't say that the kid wasn't nails there.
Yep.
However, the takeaway for a lot of people seems to be Jared Goff's now overrated. It's now swinging back. Where are you on Jared Goff in 2019?
I thought Jared played great. I think that he improved. His like I talk about, his intermediate throws are great. Crossing routes, 20, 25 yards. He's super accurate. I think he's got the right mindset. I think what happened in the Super Bowl was Sean McVay, he got outcoached, just like he said. I mean, there were some looks that they just didn't expect. And you could see from, you know, they panned back to the quarterback view. It's third and two. They're expecting man coverage. They motion. The guy runs across with him. It's man coverage. Sean said, it's man coverage. I can run a crossing route play. So they go with all these picks. And New England drops nine guys. They drop nine and rush two. And Jared's like, well, where do I throw it? Like, you said this was going to be a perfect play versus it. And he runs out of the pocket, gets sacked. It's fourth and 20. Then Sean McVay can't go for it. So it was, the whole game was like that.
Was it?
The whole game was like
so
that.
If I understand you, because my hypothesis is that Sean McVay, all he does is play action. And you know my affection for play action.
Yeah.
Boots, and that's when Goff is at his best. We saw that in New Orleans in the Superdome in the second half. Is that what they did is exactly what you just described with, by the way, Sean McVay talking in his ear up until 15 seconds until the ball is snapped, saying like,
all right, so you could see what the defense is there. They're dropping just the one safety. The other one is trying to.
And then when 16 turns around for play action, he doesn't see the safety sprinting backwards, which, by the way, is a side note to everybody else to make things about Pittsburgh as usual. Everybody's at, James Conner saw just as many 8-man boxes, maybe more than Le'Veon Bell. Maybe pre-snap, but then when the ball would snap, seven would see the safety run backwards and chase AB.
It happens, and that's exactly what happened. I mean, so in the Super Bowl, it was exactly that. So you have a difficult time getting into a rhythm as a quarterback when you don't know what you're looking at. You know, and they also had two different calls. Like, I was talking to Willie McGinnis about the same thing. New England had two different calls. One call before 15 seconds. If it got under 15 seconds, we switch our defense. So, like, how are you? I mean, everyone knows that you're going to be able to be in his ear for a little while. And as soon as that communication cuts off, now...
change everything.
We'll change it up. And then now what are you going to do? You know, so it's a difficult situation. And I thought at the end of that game, he started trying to find a way. I'm going to make this happen. I'll make some plays. So I think that Jared's a good player.
But with Goff, isn't the question's going to come whatever 2 years from now, where at that point he's not on his rookie contract. You've suddenly got to pay him like the top three quarterbacks in the NFL, and that might be where the Rams, if he still is reliant on McVay being in his ear and telling him what he's supposed to be seeing and what he should be looking at, that might be the point where they say, okay, maybe we should invest in a free agent quarterback or draft a guy in the second or third round that could... potentially, we say we don't want to pay him that money, and we should bring in someone else who we can have on a cheaper contract.
In our new world where their quarterbacks are growing on trees, maybe they don't need to keep him that way. As far as that goes, are teams nervous, do you suspect, after seeing Sean McVay get dominated like that?
That he's still
that they're the that guy. All of his all these reiterations of him
populating. If you're the Tennessee Titans or you're I would be a little bit because you got great players, right? You have good players, but Sean's different though. Sean, the preparation, like he got, like Belichick got him right, and he's texting him all year and like kind of buttering him up, but he's setting him up. Like Belichick's setting you up. He's going to steal the Super Bowl trophy from you. So that's what was happening. So Sean learned, and he's going to be better for it. I think that it was every guy gets caught in a situation like that. I mean, every good play caller, you're going to have days like that. And there were still, I mean, honestly, I'm not going to say that this was all Sean's fault. Like there were also times where maybe the looks were confusing and Jared didn't quite know what he was looking at. But if he was looking in the right spot, right, based on the coverage, there were open guys. So I'm not going to say that it was all Sean got just bamboozled in this thing. Jared missed some reads, too, early in the game. Scrambled out of the pocket when he probably shouldn't have. And an older guy, more experienced Jared Goff, or more experienced quarterback, would have just said, you know what, okay, they changed the look on me. Instead of going here, I'm just going to throw it here. I'll dump it down, and we'll make something happen. So I think that it was just a matter of Jared Goff being inexperienced, more than Sean McVay being.
But also, we hear so much about, and maybe we just hear a lot about it, and therefore we believe it, but we hear so much about McVay being in his ear before that. Is that a crutch that then he comes to rely on, and then when it's not there, or when things do get difficult, as you say, a more experienced Absolutely. Quarterback would say, okay, I know how to deal with this. And he's yeah. like, oh my God, I don't know what to do. Yeah. Run around, throw the ball.
Exactly. Well, that's why they've had so much success with Jared being so young, is because Sean's been able to kind of say, okay, I'm going to be your brain here. You just be the physical part and we'll get through it. And you can survive that for that until he figures it out. But until he figures it out, until he says, you know, now I know, right? Even Sean, as much input as you can give me, all right, they changed the look. I'm an older guy. Say I'm 4 or 5 years in now. I'm just going to make the appropriate throw. We'll go win it.
It would be
play.
Better for him to say, Sean, I don't want to hear from you any longer. Like really that would. For next season,
it really
that
would.
Might be the thing for
and maybe
him
they,
to take the step forward.
Maybe they work on that in the offseason. Right. Maybe they give periods where, and I know Eli did this a lot, where he wouldn't even want a play call from Kevin Gilbride. He would just want an entire period where I call every play. You send me a personnel group, and I'll call the play from the line of scrimmage, and I want the defense to move as much as possible. And Coughlin would set up those scenarios in practice, and then when we'd get in games, it's fine. He's not relying on the headset. Headset goes out. Who cares? Just send me a personnel group. I'll run it. So Jared will get to that point at some point.
The other side of that Super Bowl coin is that, as you say, Belichick dominant. And I feel like that also, you saw that in the first half in Kansas City. Big rally by the Chiefs, notwithstanding. That was definitely dominance from Belichick.
And his defensive coordinator. It'd be great if a team hired him as a head coach.
I mean, you can't be excited about that, right, Handsome?
Well, since you're not the fan anymore.
As a Salt Lake City Stallions fan.
Oh, right.
Give me that. You got to give me that. Yeah.
Forgot about that.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. How much am I supposed to buy that Brian Flores or anybody else had anything to do with it? There's no evidence that Belichick.
People try to tell me that same thing. Like, oh, it's all Flores. I'm like, okay.
All right. I mean, based on what? Based on what then? The other side of that coin is Tom Brady. I feel like that now it's, you know, 60-40 now, Belichick over Brady for this Super Bowl, at least, right?
You think so? I think
well, it was all 26. Yeah, the key to that offense was Sony Michel, wasn't Brady.
Yeah.
Wait, what do you mean 60-40?
You want to give
if you're attributing who's responsible
for this game or for...
I'm saying for the Super Bowl, for the 2018 season.
Oh, I'd say more than that, even.
You say Belichick.
I'd say like 80-20.
Yeah.
Brady's hanging on by the skin of his teeth at this point.
Listen, you make your snide cracks.
Just
but that's right.
I'm with you.
He understands. I'm sure he knows.
He gets it at this point. I'm being for real. I think he understands. Belichick's. He's the reason he's going to be able to play until he's 40.
And that's why Brady doesn't want to retire, because he knows if he hangs it up and they get a good replacement for him and they go 11-5 and win the Super Bowl, people are going to be like, well, hey, Tom, maybe it wasn't you. It was just
he doesn't think that.
Oh.
He's got 6 Super Bowl
Car,
rings.
Does that happen?
That happens.
Of course that would happen.
He shipped Garoppolo all the way to the other coast because he didn't want that to happen.
Oh, no, that didn't happen. Yeah, that's exactly what happened. One more thing, Carr. Drew Brees.
Yeah. What do you want to know about Drew? I don't want to bash Drew all the time. But
you're not what do you mean all the time? When did you bash him last?
He's just aging, that's all.
It's all right.
Yeah, it's fine. I mean, he doesn't have quite the zip or the pop, but, you know, they should have won the game if you asked the Saints, you know?
Is that makes us bad? See, that's exactly right, Carr. See what you do? You can't, I better speak in hushed tones when I speak ill.
I know, I almost feel like I have
Brady
to.
Or something like that, but Roethlisberger's a bum. You know, like we're allowed to take down some guys, but not other
but
guys.
But it's the Breeze and the Brady's. It's just like, you know,
Aaron
Rodgers
can catch
has
all
done
sorts of junk.
No,
Aaron Rodgers, he's incomplete. You know, he's not. But Drew Brees, how could you say that about him?
It's Mother Nature's taking it. I mean, this Father Time,
right?
You know, like it's not their fault. They're fighting against it by being still out there. So bravo, you know. But hey, you guys are kind of.
But
you know what I'm saying.
Okay, wait. One more name.
Yeah,
one more.
That seems like one obvious name that you haven't asked.
Who's the starting quarterback of the Oakland Raiders 2019?
I mean, I'm not available. So the only other acceptable option would be my brother.
Okay, but you know what? Flacco?
Come on.
You know, that could be nice.
I mean, Joe's.
Who's the ideal?
I'm sure Joe's a great guy.
Tell me this. 15 years ago, 10 years ago, before Derek Carr's name was eligible in the NFL, okay. Who would John Gruden, what would be his dream QB? What's the ideal guy for him?
Honestly, so if you just look at numbers from what Derek did last year, it's Derek. Like, it's so weird. But when you talk to John and Derek together, they literally are like, yep, we're going to make this happen. And, like, you talk to them individually separate, it's like, your brother's the greatest thing ever. Derek, John is the greatest coach ever. And it's almost like they don't hear the outside noise and what's going on. So, I don't know, man. I don't know how to read that. Like, I've known my brother my whole life. And I feel like I have a pretty good read on him. And he thinks he's going to play quarterback for the Raiders forever with John Gruden. And John Gruden wants Derek. So, I don't know, man. They really did have a completely
unheralded because the team was dead in the water by midseason. But as it happens, that offense,
they started going and like he completes
run, a lot of like, passing off.
Yeah, like Gruden
they couldn't
wants,
run the ball, but
like to your question though, like specific question, like Gruden wants a ton of completions. Like that's all he talks about. And so Derek just completed a lot of passes, you know, and maybe they need to be more explosive. And they started doing that towards the end of the year. John even made the comment to me after, and then I think he made it publicly that we need to let Derek let his arm win us some games. And he did that. And so they started stretching the ball down the field. But really, I mean, I was playing Madden the other day with my son. Like their highest rated wide receiver is a 70. Like, what are you going to do? You know, you got to have some guys out there.
You need a guy rated 84.
I'm just saying.
You need a guy rated number 84.
Antonio Brown was like a 99 at one point.
That would be a nice trade, too.
I mean,
where's your offer? I'm already negotiating with the Cardinals.
I just want to, you know, first round pick, I'm good with. We just got to have a chat. And I know Antonio and Derek, they're cool.
Would you, if that happened, if he went to the Raiders, given that you now have the keys to the facility,
right.
Would you be one of the people, would you have a chat with him as well?
Would you
say, hey, look,
I want you in
as an older brother.
With my brother.
As an older brother.
I need to protect my brother.
You know how that, you guys.
How would that chat go? Pretend Dave is Antonio Brown.
You've got sway. You can get in Gruden's ear and say, this is what I need to have happen for Derek.
And who said that hasn't happened yet?
Right. Now, pretend Dave is Antonio Brown. You're meeting him for the first time.
Yeah, and he's already a Raider or he's not yet a Raider?
He's a Raider now.
Antonio,
I'm
excited for you. All right? I'm happy that you're here. Let's just get one thing straight. Okay? You're not in charge of this football team.
Call God.
John Gruden's in charge of this football team.
AB, onward and upward. Here we go. Hall of Fame. Call him. Business is booming.
He's going to be great. He's going to be a great Raider. I'm excited.
Booming.
I'm excited. Antonio Brown's going to be a fantastic
I'm AB.
Raider.
You're doing well. You're really, I think
that's about how the discourse would go, yeah. I think. So anyway, all right. David Carr, you go. You've said it all. I don't think there's anything left to be said.
Thanks
by
for
you.
Having me, guys.
Go ahead. I want to figure. We really did run through about 6-8 QBs.
You did. You
there.
Did
that
very
was pretty
well.
Pretty good. David Carr has to go be on Fancy TV.
I do.
Handsome.
I
want to hear from you because
we have
a couple of issues down at the bottom of Spaghetti's outline here. First of all, thick cast ups update. Thank you, David Carr. Great stuff, fella. Go ahead, Spaghetti. Why don't you take it away with the thick cast update?
Well, we've been doing the weekly updates here whenever Hank's on the show. So just to I gotta be honest, I always have to come clean if I screw up, and this weekend I screwed up a bit. Had
what counts? As
I don't think you
up,
understand.
I don't think that you're excelling.
Right.
It's called the thick.
The goal
if it was
to
the
be
thin
fat,
cast, I, if it was the thin cast, you would have screwed up. Thick cast, you're winning.
I feel better when I do it as like a reward, and then I'm like, okay, then we could talk about the food that I consumed in like one large moment. But when I do it so often or almost daily at this point, I have to be better. That's just how I proceed.
No. It's the same way. Like, you know, listen, my girlfriend, I can't, you know, it's like, I got to watch football. Like, oh, football. Oh, we got to watch.
It's my job.
It's my job. Hey.
For you, it's easy.
I don't. Do I want to eat
I'm
this cheesesteak right now?
This.
No, but my career calls
right.
for it.
I'm building a brand around this.
Well, I finished all the milk bar products I had, some Mexican food for lunch on Sunday, and then decided to drive all the way to Echo Park and try what's called the best pizza in all of Los Angeles Sunday night.
That's a good choice.
Chicago deep dish. On top of the alcoholic beverages we had over the weekend too, so just a really deplorable job by me.
I disagree.
Shortened gym workouts. Right. It's
you
going,
managed to
going
find
a
time
bad
to.
Path.
Do you not find sometimes when you're working out after you've eaten the amount of food it sounds like you ate, you feel like you're kind of burping up.
Yeah, horrible.
Like the last thing.
Most
That's
definitely.
Not a good thing.
I remember playing basketball once, a pickup basketball game once in college, or more than once this happened, and I could, it was, you know, the morning after a twister, and I could literally smell the beer coming from my pores.
Yep.
And I also, a couple of times only, this has happened, I'll work out and I can actually smell chicken wing sauce.
If you lick your arm, it tastes of pizza.
Yeah. That happens to you, no. too?
No, I made that up.
Handsome Spaghetti is like, I think
he's
from,
leading
so
the
from
way.
From the time I've met him, I think he's gained about, like, what, about 60, 65 pounds?
Say about, yeah, I was going to say 65 pounds.
I mean, you got to gain some weight, fella.
I'm doing my best.
Got to hold up your
best.
End of the bargain.
I will say this, though.
Or hold it down more accurately.
The problem is that, like, you know, like if you watch those nature documentaries, there's the young animals that get to eat as much as they would. When you're a daddy animal, you're like, you have to share your food with the children, and that's the stage of life I'm at the moment.
Well, I mean, if it's not, it's either got to be the thick cast ends with either like the thing in the Monty Python movie, Meaning of Life.
Yep.
One of you just takes
Mr.
one
Cream
too many
soap.
Bites and blows up.
Called?
Right. It's got to be like
just a waff of thin mint and then Eddie explodes.
Or one of you turns into a fitness freak. And I don't like that ladder.
I think it ends with Eddie being one of those people who's craned out of a house. They have to take their roof off to get him to hospital. He's now 678 pounds.
I get a show on TLC.
And he's got a bed sore. He's got a bed sore, which is so bad and become so badly infected that they have to get him out of the house.
That is the
to
best.
To do that, they have to take the roof off.
When they have to take a wall out to get you out of the house.
And they crane him out, still on the sofa, that he's now bound to.
It's going that way. Between my girlfriend bringing home food from the show she does and then me, my roommate, and my girlfriend wanting to try all these new places, it's bad. And then the best part too is though, like the place I went to, Masa, the pizza place Chicago style, it was so good, and now like I want to go back now. Mm. So like I fought on that path. I'm like, I gotta stop. And I'm like, oh, that was really good.
But I'm living the brand. I'm creating a brand around myself, and I have to keep going. And I get it.
And I don't order regular human size. We got two pies, like the fried calamari. We got the mozzarella sticks. In Chicago, like, I mean, it's huge. It's so, I mean, talking about thick cast, it's super thick. It was delightful, but it's just not.
Emma, if somebody called you on the phone blindly and said, hey, we're looking into Eddie Spaghetti for a position with what can you tell us about him? What would be the, like, three words you would use to describe him?
Thick.
Right. Makes sense.
Great hair. That's three.
Fine with that.
Hair dryer.
Mm-hmm.
Who knew that we knew two of the one half of the fellas who participated in today's show use a hair dryer.
Yep.
Or have used one recently. That's very weird. All right. I think we've said it all for today, right? Is that more than enough there, MVP?
I think so. Yeah.
I think it was a good show. Besides the Eli Manning thing, everything else was pretty good, spot on.
Which one?
Dwayne Haskins ain't going to make it in the NFL if he doesn't have a tutor.
I don't get why you can't grasp why it would make sense for them.
Because what evidence in the 21st century is there that that's a good dynamic?
But
literally, Mahomes, the MVP of the NFL.
I'm more
is Dwayne Haskins some sort of project guy? He's not.
But the thing is, you never really want to. Why rush a rookie if you don't have to? Why even if, like, the Giants lost 8 games by one score or whatever it was? Like, if you bring and they beat some good teams, if Eli plays his best and he didn't have an awful season last year, and Haskins has the now, like, could sit on the bench and learn and really understand Sherman's system, why wouldn't you want? That's like the best case
scenario.
Because
I don't see the upside of that anymore. It's not 1978 anymore.
No,
you don't need to learn anything anymore.
He finishes his contract out. All of New York can thank him and great. Then Haskins steps in and he's great and he's right there with Saquon. I don't understand. I don't think that's, and Eli has shown that he would tutor young quarterbacks. He's done it already with the multiple guys that they tried out.
That's good evidence there. Hey, look how good Geno Smith turned out.
Right.
No, but the fact that he's willing to do it with Kyle Auletta or willing to do it with Davis Webb, that's a good sign. Like, that's a guy you want. You don't want the Roethlisberger who, you know, goes to the media when
don't
they draft Mason Rudolph.
Don't you do that. Don't you? No, listen.
Dave, I'm more willing to listen to Eddie than you know, David Carr, who played for the Giants and is friends with Eli Manning and sat in the Giants quarterback room.
I think it's obvious which
opinion here we should trust.
Surely that has to shake your opinion a little bit.
I mean, the organization.
If his friend is saying, I'm looking at how he's playing and he's not as good as what he was playing, the level he was playing at.
I don't disagree. But the organization has already said he's coming back.
So. Yeah, a lot of organizations say a lot of things.
He gets to make that decision. The decision on retirement would not be the organization's decision.
He's not retiring.
I mean, listen, if the Jags come calling, if the Jags say,
he'd be significantly worse than the Jaguars. Giants have better weapons and a better offensive
line.
It won't
be your problem anymore, and you'll gain that money. That'll be great for the kid. Bring in some better players around them. I don't get it. Why do people continue to play this game like it's 1998 or something? It's not the way it works anymore.
He's a redshirt sophomore. He only started one season.
All right, fine. Well, so what? What does that mean? If he's – I mean, there's evidence aplenty in the 21st century. You draft the QB. You start him immediately. The clock begins on his career. He gets the reps that he needs so that by year two, year three, he's ready to soar. Wilson.
Yep, I could say
RG3.
Aaron Rodgers. Tom Brady.
Tom Brady?
I mean, he didn't start right away.
That's not the same premise.
There are guys who sat, and it worked out.
That was a sixth round. He was a throw-in. Let's not give Belichick or anyone else too much credit for drafting Tom Brady after all these years later. You get my larger point.
I don't. I think it's a luxury to have a guy to sit, especially one who's a redshirt sophomore. That's just and that goes for any team that has a quarterback that's willing to train them. I think it's a good luxury to have.
I don't know. I guess we'd have to really experience on a daily basis how much Tyrod Taylor taught Baker Mayfield. That would be a good example.
But there are better examples of that. I don't know. Yes, there's always good and bad examples. But I think Eli Manning, who's a future Hall of Famer, could teach a redshirt sophomore the ropes. And with this great offense, they have these pieces. I think why not do that?
I mean,
how it's portrayed publicly doesn't mean that Eli's like, hey, guy, let me help you out. I'm just here to be a teacher for you.
Everything has to be communicated very clearly. Like, Eli, this is our future. This is going to be our guy. You are, at most this season, you're going to play six games.
Exactly.
And if you can have that conversation with someone and they're willing to accept it, then that's fine. If not, then you say, Eli, thanks very much for your service. See you later. We're going
to
be starting.
It's a limbo to put yourself in. But all right, fine. Spaghetti wants it to be that way, and so it shall be for 2019. And we'll see where that takes the New York Football Giants. All right, good times with David Carr. Good times with you, handsome Hank. Did we have anything we had to cover about the Super Bowl? Now that we're all done.
We did that because I've been on a show with you since the Super Bowl.
It's all running together.
I know. Sorry. Thanks for it. I'm sure it was super memorable.
We went from one pro football season into the
straight into
your beloved Alliance.
Salt Lake City Stallions season. Can we find out if it's Salt Lake City Stallions or just the
Salt Lake Stallions?
It is. Okay.
It is, huh? They leave the city part out. Good choice, I think.
I like that.
I think they have the 1A uniforms. I like very much what Atlanta
I chose
had.
Them even before. I just want to be very clear. It wasn't the uniforms. It was everything about them. I chose them before I knew what colors they were. I knew that I bled those colors, but I wasn't sure what the colors exactly were.
Silver and powder. Very nice.
Good.
I liked it quite a bit. Very regionally appropriate.
Yep.
That's why I like the Dolphins uniforms.
Yep.
Because of the aqua. It doesn't make any sense. Aqua doesn't make sense in Motor City.
No, it doesn't.
Like Grand Hill tried to wear 20 years ago. That looked weird. Miami, perfect sense. Wait, I just now, because I have to think of what it was. What was the uniform I said is the best? What are all the teams? There was the Atlantas. There was
the Apollos. The Orlando.
Not the Apollos.
The Fleet.
It was the Fleet. I like
what the green.
No, it's not green. No, that's the San Antonio. But they look good too. They look Oregon Ducky with some red. The Fleet have two shades of gray and gold. It's really
like a boat.
Like, all right, yeah, I guess like a boat. I don't know.
Well, you know, like a warship would have a silvery metallic side if they're a fleet.
That's right, like a boat.
That's their logo.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
Sorry, I wasn't just saying like a boat for this.
I thought you were saying the yellow part. I was like, I don't know what a yellow has to do with anything, but yes, the steely shades.
Yep. Yeah.
Ship appropriate. All right, it's more than enough now. Can we end the show now?
I feel
all
like
right.
People definitely got their value for money on this show.
All right, good. So we
as long
will,
as you didn't pay to download.
And even if you still want more, I have great news for you because we'll be back in a couple of days for you. Until then, thanks so much, football fans. It's been a thin slice of heaven.